presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower back to CX-4. Wind southeast. Ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay. This is Hop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Say, fellas and girls, you know how forgetful people can be, especially when they're traveling and in a hurry to get on about their business. All sorts of things are left on buses and trains, and on planes, too. Some of the things you'd think would never be forgotten. Jewelry, for instance, or fishing tackle, or eyeglasses. I said you'd think people wouldn't forget things like that, but you can believe me, they certainly do forget them, and often, too. Pretty generally, though, you don't have to worry if you leave something on a plane, even if it's something very small, like a pipe. Chances are it'll be returned to the rightful owner. One of our country's top commercial airline companies, American Airlines, has a working system for getting lost articles back to their owners. Any item big enough to spot easily is usually picked up by a stewardess. They check every ship for such things after every flight. But some small item can't be seen at a first glance. If a pipe or a fountain pen slips in between seats or falls to the floor, it takes a little longer to recover it. All personal property found aboard American Airlines flagships is held for 6 months. All articles left unclaimed for that period are then disposed of, usually to charity. For instance, American Airlines sends unclaimed clothes and toys to the Salvation Army or to the Children's Aid Society. Eyeglasses that aren't claimed become the property of the Manhattan Eye Hospital in New York. And books, most of them bestsellers, go to veterans in Halloran Hospital, also in New York. In just a few minutes, gang, I'll be back to tell you more about American Airlines' lost and found system, so don't forget to listen. And now to our story. The long night, fraught with danger, has finally passed. Morning finds Hop and movie star Dixie Davenport outside Tex Regan's ranch house, where they had been held captive, waiting for Tank to arrive. But the lumbering mechanic is hours overdue. Hop is frankly worried.
I bailed out over the ranch house about 8 o'clock last night. Told him to fly back to the location camp to get help. He should have been back by midnight at the latest. It's 9 a.m. now.
Maybe he got lost, Hop.
I hope it's only that.
The Tank knows how to fly, doesn't he?
Well, sure he does.
Then of course he lost his way. You know this valley isn't easy to find in the dark.
Dixie, the sun's been up more than 3 hours. Even if he had to wait for daylight, he would have been here.
Hop, please don't worry. I'm sure everything will be all right. At least we're not still tied up, thanks to that horse of mine.
No, but we still don't know what Regan or Joe Bell are up to.
Well, Joe must have found Tex by now.
Exactly. And when Regan tells him he didn't mess up the plan, Joe will fly right back to finish off the job he started.
We found 2 rifles. We can hold him up.
Yeah, there's only 1 clip of ammunition for each. 10 rounds altogether. Won't last long against a submachine gun.
Well, then, why don't we saddle Sequoia? He can carry both of us.
Yes, but then if Tank does show up and finds his gun...
Oh, that's right. Sort of puts us between the frying pan and the fire, doesn't it? One thing's as bad as the other.
If I only knew where Tank was... I only knew what's happened to us.
There's a note of desperation in Hop's voice as he scans the clear, sun-washed sky overhead, hoping against hope for a glimpse of the familiar outline of the beach craft. Meanwhile, in Barstow, in a doorway near the bank, Tank fidgets nervously as Ivan Ivanov looks at his watch for the 100th time.
It is now 9:10, Mr. Tinker. You told me that Mr. Texas Regan would appear at the bank to collect his money as soon as it opened.
Well, that's the way Hop figured it.
So then, where is Mr. Regan?
If I knew, I wouldn't be hanging around here, would I?
Mr. Tinker, do not answer a question with a question. That is telling me nothing.
Listen, all I know is that Regan was supposed to show up here. And if he don't, Hop and Dixie are going to be in trouble. Because I can't find my way back to the ranch house.
But how long must we wait here? My feet are beginning to bark.
Mr. Peabody can get you some corn plasters, and we ain't moving until I...
Mr. Ivanov! Oh, dear, where are you?
Don't talk of the angel, and he is coming.
Doggone it, I told him to stay around the corner. Does he want to mess up the works?
Mr. Ivanov!
Over here, Mr. Peabody.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I told you to stay put. If Regan sees you, he'll never...
That's exactly why I'm here, Mr. Tinker. We've seen Regan.
What?
Oh, where is he, Mr. Peabody? Speak quickly.
He's gone.
Gone? Why didn't you tell me?
Well, we weren't quite sure.
You see, Mr. McSwain thought he saw one of our company cars parked on the corner two blocks down.
Yes? Please, to kindly go on, Mr. Peabody.
Well, I told him he was mistaken. None of our cars are out of camp. Then I suddenly remembered that Miss Dixie gave Joe Bell a car day before yesterday, and...
Oh, for Pete's sake, hurry up.
Do not interrupt, Mr. Tinker.
Well, it was the same one. I looked at it more closely, and I saw two men inside.
Regan and Bell?
Well, Regan, definitely. I couldn't see the other one. Then they drove off.
Which way?
They turned back to the desert road.
Oh, my gosh, they're heading for the ranch house.
For why not? Didn't Mr. Regan go to the bank?
He must have smelled a trap. Come on, we gotta get rolling. Mr. Peabody, get McSwain on the double.
Mr. Tinker.
Yeah?
Ivanov is the director here. He gives the order.
All right, so give him.
Mr. Peabody, get Mr. McSwain on the triple.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Where do we go now, Mr. Tinker?
You're giving the orders. You tell me.
Mr. Tinker, do not play the game. I have enough trouble.
Yeah, you got troubles.
And do not keep repeating myself. Where do we go?
Back to the field. We're going to chase Regan and Bell. Chase them right back to the ranch house.
My ideas to the last detail. Very good, Mr. Tinker.
Oh, you can't win.
All right, Mr. Ivanov. Mr. McSwain is coming.
Very good, Mr. Peabody. Come, Mr. Tinker. Now is the time for all good men to ride a horse of a different color.
Striding to the curb, the explosive director waves furiously, summons a cab, and 15 minutes later, he, Tank, Mr. Peabody, and McSwain, the cameraman, arrive at the small Barstow airfield. But as they walk to the Beechcraft, parked in the tie-down area, they hear the thundering roar of a heavy transport starting to take off.
Hey, that's Dixie's plane.
Dixie's an aeroplane, you're sure, Mr. Tinker?
And how, I'm sure.
Oh, it is, sir. Yes, sir, I recognize it myself.
But what is she doing here?
She ain't here. Joe Bell's using it.
So why do you stand there? Stop them, stop them!
Do I look like Superman?
Mr. Tinker, it works of one syllable. Positively not. Now stop that aeroplane!
Now, she's already in the air. The only thing we can do is trail it and hope that Joe's heading for the ranch house. Now go on, all of you. Pile into the beach. And the first guy that opens his zip gets clipped in a whisker.
Startled by Tank's sudden outburst, Ivan Ivanov and his two assistants move quickly to the plane and a few minutes later are airborne, holding a course eastward over the desert, searching for the transport. Meanwhile, in Dixie's reconverted C-47, Tex Regan is seething with anger as he sits beside Joe Bell in the flight compartment, urging his accomplice to greater speed.
Come on, Joe! Can't you make this old washed up fly any faster?
She's wide open now, Tex.
So Dixie was playing it straight, was she? She kept the promise, eh? I knew I could never trust her.
She seemed surprised when Harrigan showed up.
Yeah, she was acting. She had it all fixed up ahead of time. And where was that fat boy, Tinker?
He wasn't anywhere around. I looked for him after I caught Harrigan.
Them two always worked together. So it's a cinch something pretty important separated them.
What do you mean, something important?
Like Harrigan bailing out to stick by Miss Davenport, while Tinker goes to the bank in the morning to wait for me. It was a lucky thing you showed up and told me what happened, Joe.
Well, I...
Yeah, I know. Harrigan got you all steamed up with a song and dance about me double-crossing you. But you don't have to worry none about that, Joe. I'm leveling with you all the way, partner.
Sure, Tex, I know. But look, what are we going to do about the money now? We can't touch it where it is.
We'll work out something. No dame's going to cross me up. Not Tex Regan, no siree.
Well, what do we do when we get back to the ranch house?
We'll pack up a duds. Take Miss Davenport and that horse of hers and beat it pronto.
And Harrigan?
Harrigan? We'll leave him for the buzzards.
An ugly snarl distorts Regan's lips as he leisurely reaches for the submachine gun on the floor behind him. Gang, the climax of today's episode is full of action, so stand by. Now, gang, let's get back to that lost and found system of American Airlines. Suppose a stewardess picks up a lost item in a plane at the Washington airport. It's kept in Washington for 3 days. No one claims it. The item is sent along to New York. There, four huge steel cabinets are filled with rubbers, duffel bags, fountain pens, umbrellas, hats, pipes, toys, and so forth. The amazing part about the lost and found system is that it actually works, because according to the supervisor of the department, a lot of people don't miss lost items until days and sometimes weeks have gone by. In these cases, the chances are the person can't even remember the date of his flight, which means a lot of checking into back records. but the Lost and Found Department feels it's worth it when they finally locate the missing item. One case among the hundreds of unusual ones that always come up has to do with some fishing tackle. The young lady who called about it said she wasn't sure about her flight date. She thought it might have been the 15th or the 17th of the month on a flight between Boston and Washington, or maybe it was between Philadelphia and Memphis. It turned out she was calling for someone else. There are always some hot jewel mysteries around, too. One case that still gets laughs is about a California jeweler returning from Chicago with $1,500 worth of rings. The man didn't even know he'd left these rings on the flagship, and when American Airlines called him to come down for them, he almost fainted. He had put three detectives on the trail of the diamonds, not knowing where he had lost them. Well, that's another of the services provided by American Airlines to make travel easier for everyone. And I think it's a very worthwhile service. And say, gang, if you want to take part in the great future of aviation, get set now to take your place in the sky. For always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. An hour has passed, an hour of fear and worry for Hop, still waiting at Regan's for Tank's arrival. Time after time, Hop looked up, thinking he heard a plane, but the sky was always empty. And now, as he paces up and down in the corral, Dixie calls out to him as she leads Sequoia out of the stable.
Hop, I don't think we should wait another minute.
What?
I don't think we should wait any longer. You're driving yourself crazy this way.
But, Dixie, what else can we do?
Try to get back to camp. I've saddled Sequoia. He can carry both of us.
Yes, but what if Tank shows up after we've gone?
I've left a note for him, tacked to the front door. He can't miss him.
I don't know, Dixie.
Oh, please, Hop, be reasonable. Maybe Tank can't find his way back for some reason or other.
Well, then he should at least be searching for the valley.
Well, maybe he is. Maybe we'll see him on the way. Hop, we can't stay here.
Okay, you win.
Good. Now, I've taken one of the rifles and both clips of ammunition, and there's some food in the pack. May take us until evening to get out of the mountains, but we'll make it all right.
You sure Sequoia can carry both of us?
I'm positive.
Okay.
Now climb up behind me. Easy, boy. Easy. All right, Hop?
All right. There.
Comfortable?
Well.
I know it isn't exactly like a plane, but I'll hold him down. Ready?
Sure thing.
All right, Sequoia. Up, boy.
You know which way to go?
Yes. There's an old dirt road. Regan took it when he brought me here.
Hey, your car. Why don't we use your car?
No gas. I already checked. We'll parallel the road. I don't want to ride right on it in case Regan's on his way back.
Hey.
Easy, Hop. You'll fall off.
No, hold up, Dixie. I hear a plane.
Whoa, boy. Whoa. Where?
I can't see. The sun's too bright. Wait, there. There it is. Great Scott.
Is it Tank?
No, it's your ship. It's Joe.
Oh, no.
He's coming straight down right on top of us. Move, Dixie.
Up, Sequoia, up.
Head back to the ranch house. We're out in the open.
Faster, Sequoia. Faster.
Got to get under cover if he opens up with his machine gun.
Go, Sequoia. Go, boy.
He's shooting. Turn, Dixie. Turn.
Come on, boy.
Watch it.
Steady, boy. Steady.
But even as Dixie saws at the reins, Sequoia, frightened by the machine gun bullets raising puffs of dust at his very hooves, rears wildly up in the air, and Hoff and the movie star fall to the ground with a sickening impact. The horse rears again, and free of his burden, turns and bolts. In the transport, Tex Regan has witnessed the entire incident, and clapping Joe on the shoulder, points down. Nodding, the pilot sends his plane into another dive, and Regan stands by with a machine gun. Gang, you certainly don't want to miss the next episode, so don't fail to listen. Tune in and fly with Hoff Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazines.